be quite interesting to see Martin go to prison, wouldn't it?
Would you visit me?
No. Yeah, well, I would, actually. Okay, so hi, church. Oh. Actually, we've already sung. I'm really grateful for the songs we've sung. It's not organised, but words that really encourage me and fit for this morning, keywords like in Cornerstone, weak made strong. And I believe that's the sort of word that God wants to bring to us today. And so I'm going to say three words that you're going to really love. They just fill me with such excitement, these words. Work, labor, endurance. Don't think they're great words? No, you don't. Work, labor, endurance. They're not really attractive words, are they? And but if we start to add in other words to that, like faith, love, and hope, and then pile on top of that such words as productive, inspired, and prompted, now we're getting better. So I was really fascinated to read in 2 Thessalonians. Let me just read. It's only a verse. 2 Thessalonians, when it said this: "We always thank God for all of you, mention you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope." What a great set of phrases. Work produced by faith, labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. They are great. Let's remind ourselves of a story you know well. What's generally known as the woman at the well. Goes something like this. Jesus has left Jerusalem. He's going up to Galilee. He passes through Samaria. And while he's passing through Samaria, he stops at Jacob's well. And the Bible records something that I find quite encouraging. It says he was tired. He was just plain tired. And so he sent his disciples away to get some food. Now, you know the story really well. I'm sure you do. But a woman comes to the well and he engages in dialogue with words of knowledge and remarkable conversations, opens her heart up to who he is, the Messiah. And there is this divine interaction that goes on with this exhausted man and this woman. When I say this, I don't mean that negatively, exhausted man, but actually is what the Bible said. It doesn't use the word exhausted, it says tired. Meanwhile, the disciples are getting food, and you know what happens. They come back, and revival has broken out. She's hopped off to the village and said, "I've just met the Messiah." And now, there's all sorts of stuff happening. The disciples turn up with food, and they know that Jesus needs to eat because he's tired. And he said, no, I'm absolutely fine now. Something had changed. And so we could simply say spiritual energy defies the logic of natural exhaustion. Spiritual energy defies the logic of natural exhaustion. And that is just such an amazing truth. And here it goes. Who here does not at times feel drained or exhausted or tired? And labor just seems to drag on. Actually, what we need is fresh vision, fresh hope, fresh love, fresh faith, so that we become inspired. Now, I'm going to go off piece really, but my experience is I seem now to live tired. You just get used to it in the end. And there are times when you don't feel like preaching. When you don't feel like going to work. I tell you, working with the church project with people like Graham is inspirational. Most of the time. But after a long Sunday, turning up on site on a wet February and a cold wind, sometimes when that turns from week to month, and the same will be true of your experience, situations that don't resolve, where the Bible says you should have been walking on water and you can hardly keep your head above water. That feeling of just, if you keep going, you're not going to go anywhere, but you're going to just make it through. And it becomes draining. I believe God wants to address to us today the secrets of what Jesus accomplished when he spoke to the woman at the well. That we could find fresh resources that defies natural exhaustion and find spiritual energy. There are just times when, and I'm sure this is true for you, God opens my eyes to what he's called us to, new church. Do you know, I couldn't care less what the weather's like, or how grumpy Graham is, or happy. Actually, from somewhere, from nowhere, spiritual energy surges through me. I'm sure you know this. Give any of us fresh vision and you're ready to tear the world to pieces. And you think, what has changed? Isaiah 40, you know these verses well. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow weary and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall soar on the wings of eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Aren't those just great words? I believe the Lord wants to address in us today, not just physical, but the exhaustion that comes from mental and emotional exhaustion, weariness, and constant battering that brings discouragement. But you know what? It's not those things that sink the boat in the end. It's the loss of vision. Don't say, my way is hidden from the Lord. Don't say, God doesn't see me anymore. I'm too small and my cause. There is, listen, we've heard Psalm 139. You are individually known and loved. Your way is not hidden. That is a lie of the enemy. The moment that you feel that sense of isolation and being cut off, it is that very thing that undermines your ability to be strong. Now, however much we all want to do it for each other, we will fail each other. But I promise you, there has never been a day God has ever taken his eyes off of you. This is stuff that we know. It's another thing to live in it. Don't say my cause is disregarded by my God. In other words, don't say my stuff is too small. He doesn't care about me. There are times that I feel an overwhelming sense that nobody cares and God doesn't care. I know it's not true. I just know that it's not true. But I also know it overwhelmingly washes over you at times. And that is something that is satanic and dark. And we should not agree with it. But every circumstance calls you to agree with it. May God grant us today, by his Spirit, into your life, fresh vision, fresh faith, fresh hope, fresh love. Because we know that the moment you become discouraged, it saps the natural energy out of your body. And the job doesn't get done. I want to just, I don't know if I'm using the correct phrase here, but when we talk about faith, the Bible addresses two faiths. It addresses, for want of better words, these are Paul Hedger phrases, it addresses saving faith, and I'm going to call it confidence faith. I have faith in Jesus Christ. My faith is the Christian faith. Anybody who puts their trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour has moved into the faith. Paul says on another occasion, seeing the cripple that he had, or was it Peter, I can't remember, seeing them, that they had faith to be healed. That's to do with confidence in that moment. You can't experience the confidence faith without first experiencing the saving faith. However, here is the shocking thing, is you get many people who experience the first one, saving faith, without having confidence in confidence faith, in God being able to work in their situation. I hope you don't think this is an indulgence, but the Lord really laid it on my heart. But when I was at school and did my O-levels, put your hand up if you did O-levels. I bet you've got grey hair, haven't you? It dates us rather, does it not? And for my English literature O-level, I studied Macbeth. I never thought I would enjoy it. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. And I can remember much of it now. I remember the story. I remember being impacted. I remember as an awakening Christian how spiritual that story was. How Macbeth gave himself over to the witches and in turn over to the demons. He was a murderer. He stole the throne by murder and established himself. He had no fear of God. But though the witches promised that he would succeed, of course, they get their sources from the father of the lies. By the way, I realise it's not inspired scripture. Didn't realise that. But as his life faded away and his miserable life was beginning to end, one of the most famous quotes of Macbeth comes, of Shakespeare, comes there. And I remember as a 15-year-old, I knew nothing about Shakespeare at all. I can't quote any other part of it. I am certainly not into literary works. But I remember reading this and being impacted by this particular phrase. And it was struck me with a clarity that I have never, ever forgotten. And it's that famous phrase that starts, "Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps on this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. All our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle. Life is but a walking shadow. A poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, but signifying nothing." Let me give you a modern, this is not mine, stole it off the internet. "Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. The days creep slowly along until the end of time, and every day that's already happened has taken fools that much closer to their deaths. Out, out, brief candle. Life is nothing more than an illusion. It's like a poor actor who struts and worries for his hour on the stage and then is never heard of again. Life is a story told by an idiot, full of noise and emotional disturbance, but devoid of meaning." I remember at the time thinking, that is somebody who has completely lost their connection with God. It is where so many people live. You just strut and fret your hour upon the stage and never heard of again. Life meaningless. Listen, do you know the greatest hope that we have? Is that whatever happens to you in this life, there is through the veil of death, and that is why the apostle writes to the Thessalonians and says, "Do not grieve like other men grieve." Doesn't say you shouldn't grieve. "But I tell you this, that the last day a trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we that are still alive will meet them in the sky." That is our hope. Do you know what? Life is built of work, labour and endurance. But what makes us conquerors is that we become inspired by love, faith and hope. And even in this life, many of us have got some tough battles. Even in this life there is hope, but this one thing the Christian stands on is that we do not need to grieve like other men who have no hope. That is the founding level of our hope. And so Jesus would say, the complete opposite to Shakespeare's meaningless life of a man that's utterly lost his way, Jesus would say this: come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When I was a kid, my grandparents had a lovely old wooden yoke. It used to go on your shoulders and then stick out here with two chains, and you could carry two buckets comfortably. So when I read that, I always thought that's the yoke to which it referred. That's not true. Actually, the yoke it refers to here is the yoke that put two oxen to plough together. Work. Labour. What is the image? Jesus is saying, I'm not taking the yoke away. Adam and Eve were made to work in the garden before they even sinned. Work should be just the greatest pleasure ever. Now let's try that again. Work should be the greatest pleasure ever. He wants us to enjoy fulfillment. There is nothing so fulfilling as being productive. What is crippling is frustration. It's this idea that you're supposed to be able to keep it spinning and all your natural resources are running out. It is perfectly clear that what Jesus referred to, he doesn't say he's going to take the yoke away. He says, I'm going to give you an easy yoke. One that fits comfortably. And here the image is perfectly clear, is that he wants to come shoulder to shoulder with us, put the yoke upon us so that we can plow and do supernatural things. When everything naturally says you should be exhausted and drained and tired. Do you know there are spiritual resources that some of us know little about? I can always be impacted. I can't remember if it's John Wesley or Charles Wesley, but it definitely was Mr. Wesley, who used to get up, and I can't remember what time, was it 5 or 6 in the morning to pray? Unless, of course, he had a really busy and demanding day, then he would get up at 3 or 4 to pray. Where did he find the resources? Maybe he found supernatural strength, as Jesus did when he was tired and spoke to the woman at the well. Do you know, I'm really getting a sense that God is speaking to us right now and wants to resource us. Hey, how about this? Finish the quote for me. The joy of the Lord. How many has heard that scripture before? It's just a bit of research here. How many knows where it comes from? The Bible. I think you meant to say the Bible, I hope. Nehemiah, indeed it is. How many knew that came? I didn't know it came from Nehemiah. I thought it was from Psalms, actually. Interesting, isn't that? There's a real lesson there that we need to know our Bibles well. Because actually, when you want to defeat the lies of the enemy, you won't defeat it with feelings. You'll defeat him with the Word of God. You need to speak it out. The joy of the Lord is my strength. However, let's just think for a moment, because that is such an irrational statement. How many know that joy is an emotion? And strength is a degree of energy levels that can be measured in calories and joules. They've got nothing to do with each other. In fact, you could say that you can be tired and joyful, or sad and strong. But you see, that's in the natural world. We are talking about a supernatural world. World in which if you lose your joy, you will lose the potential to work and labour and endure. You need to be inspired by love, faith and hope. You need a fresh horizon. Because if you get your eyes to the right place, you will find something will happen to that tired old body of yours. By the power of the Spirit. I was really struck by the phrase that Jesus says when he says, come to me, take my yoke upon, come to me. Do you know, I had a quick count up before I came out. He says that 12 times in the Bible, come to me. You have got to come. Come to him. We don't mean come to the front of the church. We don't mean, by the way, really would encourage you to ask for prayer. But the real source is found in your deep and personal commitment in coming to Jesus. Saying, Lord, would you resource me with fresh energy? Will you help me to overcome the exhaustion that's made my eyes hit the floor and drained me and given me no joy about tomorrow? Amen. Amen. Well, believe it or not, that is actually technically the end of the sermon.